This is our initial program for this whole summer learning experience, which began today. And part, a facet of it, was that we wanted to have a women's program. And Rabbi Schachter is going to be, so just to welcome, Rabbi Schachter is our Rosh Beis Medrash. He has spearheaded this whole summer learning initiative. This is the first of the many programs that he's going to be leading as part of now being the director of the Young Israel Women Beit Medrash program. We're overwhelmed, actually. I apologize, it's a little tight. We were overwhelmed by the attendance. But I think it really is just indicative of a thirst for Torah learning. And we hope that you will benefit tremendously. Please spread the word to your friends about the overall program and specifically the women's program. Marmakomos are going out. We're also going to have passing around just the schedule cards, and without any delay. There's also going to be a sign-in sheet going around with the email. If you put your name and email on the sign-in sheet. We also welcome any suggestions, both for the summer program, but even beyond the summer program. Schachter is here to be very involved in all the Torah learning programs, the future Torah learning programs. And I suggest on the card it has his email address. You can welcome to send him an email with suggestions. Obviously, not all ideas we're going to be able to hit right away. God willing, he'll have many years here in the community to advance Torah study. And we thank you very much for coming today. And please invite your friend for next week.
Okay, maybe we'll just pass these around. Good morning, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi Axelrod, for joining us. And really, thank you to everyone here for joining. You know, it's always a daunting task to begin anything. Any new beginning is difficult. And it was many, many months that brought us to this point. Many politics, many months, many people. A lot to arrange. And thank God things have come together very beautifully. And this is the most beautiful part of everything that we've put together, is the fact that there's a commitment on the part of the women of our community and beyond to really take part and to join us in everything that we're going to be doing. So I thought that an appropriate place for us to begin with our shiurim this morning. I'm not familiar with the Young Israel Woodmere, but how do you make this that it shouldn't fall down? Right. This is why we have a shul president, to tell us. And I just want to take this opportunity to really thank the shul president, Yehuda Pupko, together with Shlomo Zoller, and all those who are involved in the day-to-day of everything that goes on here. If you would know how much work it took to put all this together, and how much resource, how much effort, it's a tremendous testament to what they, the belief that they have in where this community should be and where this community is going to be going. So I look forward to welcoming everyone at many of our programs. This whole summer we have a lot going on, and everyone is obviously welcome. Maybe we'll get ourselves a bigger room if we see that the attendance is always as well as it is today. So I thought that an appropriate place to begin perhaps would be with Hilchos Shabbos. Does everyone have, there are two different sheets that went around. Okay.
They're still going around.
Each half of the room got one.
Each half got one? Okay, so let's see where the rest of them. We'll give it another minute. Shabbos is obviously the, yes. No, each one is going to be an isolated topic. And obviously, I encourage everyone to please let me know if there are particular topics that you would find of interest. I have not yet prepared the next 6 weeks, so you should really let me know. I'm open to any and all suggestions that might be of interest to you. I thought maybe to discuss some Hilchos Shabbos would be an important place to begin. And that's why the first sheet that I gave out here is really to discuss why I chose to speak about Hilchos Shabbos. And perhaps maybe we'll spend some of our time over the next couple of weeks talking about Hilchos Shabbos. So let's begin like this. Shabbos, as we know, is our spiritual encounter. It's our experience. It's a time for us each and every week to sort of detox. It's a time for us to really reflect on where we're supposed to be, who we're supposed to be, and what our lives are really supposed to be all about. That is an impossible task unless we prepare ourselves adequately to do so. Obviously, we know that preparation is not only physical. Yes, we cook for Shabbos, and we clean for Shabbos, and we get everything ready, and we have all the shopping experience that we do. But beyond that, we need to have a not only physical preparation for ourselves to have an appreciation for Shabbos, but we also must have a emotional and a spiritual uplifting experience for ourselves in order to really truly appreciate what Shabbos can be for us. So with that, I just want to begin. One of the source sheets only has one side of a page. So that's the one we're going to look at. Okay? Everybody with us? For those who don't have, you don't have? Oh, it's coming up? Okay, so we'll begin with a story that's not as consequential, and then by the time those go around, we'll be up to the next one. There was a great Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim who passed away within the last 20 years, the last 15 years. His name was Rav Chaim Brim. So probably no one in the room ever heard of him, I would imagine. Anyone ever heard of him? Okay, now anyone in the room ever heard of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel? Everybody heard of him. So Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel's Rebbe was Rav Chaim Brim. Just gives you a little context of who this individual was. He was a very special person. He lived in Yerushalayim, and in fact, Rav Chaim Brim used to host Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel quite often in his home. Already when Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel was a Rosh Hashiva and running, you know, all the activities that he did, he would go back to visit his Rebbe quite often. So Rav Chaim Brim is quoted as saying the following, and we can read along together, we'll translate. Talmidei Hagaon Rav Chaim Brim Mesaprim. The students of Rav Chaim Brim, who was the Rebbe of Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, say about him, Shehagon Rav Chaim haya ragil lases tefila b'chol erev Shabbos. Every week, as he finished his Shemona Esrei, on Friday afternoon, in the end of Mincha, Acharei Elokai Netzor shal tefila shachris, I'm sorry, he would say it in shachris, he would daven the following, Sheyizke lekabel ha'aros ha'shabbos ha'memashmeshas uba'a. Every week, Rav Chaim Brim would offer a special tefila on Friday afternoon. Please, God, allow me to soak up and to appreciate everything that Shabbos has to offer. What a unique type of tefillah. What a unique type of thinker. Somebody who's so in tune with what Shabbos is all about. There are plenty of seats in the front. A few more people, we're going to have to go down to the main shul. Should be our biggest problem. But so this was Rav Chaim Brim's tefillah. V'haya mevate es shvichas tzikon lachsho b'loshon ha-tefillah shal yom ha-Shabbos. And then he would add on to his tefillah, and he would say, "Bezeh haloshon, Ritzei navim nuchasenu, kadshenu b'mitzvosecha, v'sein chalkenu b'sarasecha, v'anchilenu Hashem Elokeinu ba'ava uveratzon Shabbos kadshecha." Now, we're familiar with that tefillah on Shabbos. We say that in our Shmona Esrei. But Rav Chaim Brim used to go on Friday and already recite that tefillah because he was concerned that if I'm not going to adequately prepare myself to accept Shabbos and everything that comes along with it, I just won't have the experience that I'm supposed to have. And then they go on to say, if you skip the next three lines and then you go to the next, Od Haisa Shigura Alashono. This is even more profound. He used to say, he was in the custom of saying on Friday, Bakasha Balashon Hamunduberes, he would say the following, Ribono Shalolam, this is a very powerful statement, Nasatali Nerus L'Shabbos, you have provided for me to have enough money that I can buy Shabbos candles. You know, the Gemara talks about a Masecha Shabbos. What if you have somebody who can't afford candles, and what should he do, and what comes first? What if I can only afford wine? What if I can only afford candles? What if I can only afford bread? The Gemara has all sorts of questions. We don't live in such a generation. Thank God we're a generation where we know almost nobody who cannot afford to have Neir Shabbos. Everybody we know lights Shabbos candles. So he said, Ribono Shel Olam, I thank you, Shanasatali Neiros L'Shabbos, V'yayin L'Shabbos, V'chein Chalos. I have everything that I need. My Shabbos meals are prepared. And I have everything that will make Shabbos wonderful. Ata, however, now, hinani mevakesh mimcha. I plead, I beg of you. Ana, ribono shalolam, tein li gam Shabbos l'Shabbos. I can have all the exteriors. I can have the Neir Shabbos. I can have the challahs. I can have the kiddush. All I ask of you, now that I prepared myself, all I ask of you, God, tein li gam Shabbos l'Shabbos. Let me also have the Shabbos itself. Let me also have the Shabbos experience and not just get lost in all the preparation and everything else. I want to have the experience of Shabbos itself. Give me Shabbos of Shabbos kedei she'uchal lahargish es ha-Shabbos v'la'asos ha-karoi al kol b'chinoseha. It gives us a little bit of a context of how a real great person is supposed to look at Shabbos. And that's something that I believe all of us can have. Obviously, we're not on the same level as Reb Chaim Brim. We're not living in the same world as he lived. But just to bring it down to our own level, to our own simple level, and that is for us to just recognize that preparing for Shabbos is not simply to prepare physically, to get the house all clean, to go shopping and to prepare all the food. But preparing for Shabbos also means to ready ourselves mentally and emotionally to think about the fact that we have an opportunity every week to get ourselves into an experience that is supposed to be Me'ein Olam Haba, that is supposed to be a different kind of experience, not the same experience that we have every day of the week. And if we don't really understand that, it's very difficult to walk away from Shabbos with anything actually substantive. On top of all of that, one needs to make sure to familiarize themselves also with Hilchos Shabbos. Obviously, we need to prepare ourselves mentally, we need to prepare ourselves physically, but Hilchos Shabbos is of extreme importance. And if you look at the second entry on this same sheet that we're reading, there was a great Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, who lived in Europe many years ago, and he wrote the following. He says, Uva emes ashrei hashomrim Shabbos karoi. Praised are those people who keep Shabbos the way they are supposed to. Ki bo bachar Hashem Yisrael l'sgulaso. This is what God set out for us. To think about the fact that we have an opportunity to have a relationship with Him on Shabbos. V'yom zeh chemdas l'sgulas hayamim. V'ilu shamar Yisrael Shabbos karoi hayu negalim. We're about to start the 3 weeks. If only, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, if only we would understand that Shabbos is so important for us to be keeping, we would be redeemed. We would be redeemed, and in fact, the Gemara tells us that as well. Uva'avonoseinu harabim ein anu nizharim bekama dinim, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. Unfortunately, we all know that we're not careful about Hilchos Shabbos. We're not in tune with what Hilchos Shabbos is really about. Melachos v'toldos v'dine muktzah v'yisiru derabanan. There are so many facets of Hilchos Shabbos that we're simply not familiar with and we're not careful about. Val harov machmas chisaron yediyah. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, it's not because we're bad people. It's not because we don't want to keep Shabbos the way we're supposed to, but rather it's because we simply don't know. Machmas chisaron yediyah. It's because we don't know the halachas. If we don't know the halachas, how can we possibly keep Shabbos properly? Ki ba'avonoseinu harabim nefishi v'chamiri hilchos Shabbos ve'en kor behem l'shma. There are not a lot of people who spend time focusing on what Hilchos Shabbos is all about and on all the little details. Skip to the next paragraph. B'bakasha mikem, I plead, I beg of you, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, Achi ubeni, mamish ein drasha she'ein ani mazir eschem lebal tefalsu orachayim. Can you imagine if you were in a shul and the rabbi got up in a drasha every single week and spoke about the same thing? I would switch shuls. There's nothing else to talk about. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says about himself, I never in my life gave a drasha where I didn't speak about the importance of keeping Shabbos, where I didn't speak about, I didn't stress the issue that people simply are not familiar with Hilchos Shabbos. And therefore he says, Shimu l'mamarei, listen to all the speeches that I give, u'befrad Hilchos Shabbos v'yantuf lishmar mo'adei Hashem karoi, ki hei mekorei kodesh v'hei maginin aleinu. Then in another drasha, yet again, as he says about himself, that he always spoke about Shabbos, in another drasha he writes as well, Ashrei shokdei taraso ladas eichu ma yunahig adam, bamehu ish Yisraeli. Praised is the person who spends time trying to focus on the halachas of Shabbos and on the issues. And you look at the bold letters there. Mishalo lamed hilchos Shabbos al burian pa'amayim v'shalosh. Someone who hasn't gone through hilchos Shabbos, even on the simplest level, at least once or twice or three times, lo yuchal lihimaleit shelo yikarelo chilo Shabbos hein de araisa hein de rabbana. It is impossible, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, if we don't learn the Hilchos Shabbos properly, even on the simplest level, it is impossible for us to actually keep Shabbos properly. And you look in the third one, we won't read it together because we're running out of time already, but if you look in the third one, you'll notice that Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz writes, we all call ourselves Shomrei Shabbos, right? When was the last time you saw somebody who's Orthodox comes to a shul? Everyone says, yeah, I'm a Shomrei Shabbos. How can you call yourself a Shomrei Shabbos, he says, if you don't even know how to be Shomer Shabbos? If you don't even know the rules of how to keep Shabbos, how can we call ourselves Shomer Shabbos? He says it's just the wrong title. So again, all this we see is that it's of extreme importance that we spend time, at least a little bit of time, throughout our year, trying to focus a little bit on some of the issues of Hilchos Shabbos. And obviously we can't do everything in one shot. But this is why I thought perhaps a good place to start, as we know Halakas Neiros Shabbos is something that we encounter each and every week. It's a very beloved mitzvah. It's an opportunity for us to be mechabed the Shabbos. So this is why we'll begin with the mitzvah of Halakas Neiros Shabbos. Obviously in the coming weeks we can negotiate, we can talk about other things we want to speak about, but I just thought this was a nice way to start. So the Rambam writes, if you look at the second of the source sheets, You didn't get them. Okay. You got them? Nobody on the other side has? So here's a question, I guess. Is this a group that enjoys text-based shiurim or prefer not? Those who like text-based, you can raise your hands. Okay. And those who don't? Uh-huh. Okay. Nothing to be embarrassed of. Two different styles. I happen to enjoy giving classes that are text-based. I think it's easier for people to pay attention. You have what to look at, what to write on, actually. So let's begin with the Rambam. When the Rambam discusses... What was that? Absolutely. And if I'm not translating enough, please stop me. Nothing to be uncomfortable about. The shiur is not for me. The shiur is for those who are interested in listening. So, the Rambam writes in his fifth parak of Hilchos Shabbos. For those who don't have, maybe try to look on with someone else. But the Rambam writes as follows. Halakas ner b'shabbos eina rishus. Says the Rambam. What does a rishus mean? Rishus means, well, you have a right, you can do it, you cannot do it. Sometimes we have different areas of halacha that are, you don't really have to, but you can if you want. For example, one interesting example that the Vilna Gaon describes as a mitzvah harishus, just the term is already a little funny, because a mitzvah means tzivui, means you have to. So how can you have a mitzvah harishus? You're told you have to do something, but you don't really have to, so it's already a little bit of a conflict in terms. However, the Vilna Gaon explains that there is such a concept as a mitzvah harishus. And one of those examples is, for example, achilas matzah on the rest of the days of Pesach. As we know, one has to eat matzah on the first day of Pesach. Let's say the matzah, okay, I don't enjoy the matzah so much. So some people enjoy matzah, so the whole Pesach they're eating matzah. Let's say I don't enjoy it so much. Is there any reason for me the rest of the days of Pesach to actually eat matzah? No? Yes? What do we say? Answer is, what was that? For sure. So as long as you ate it at the Seder, you're good. But the question is, now that I took care of my Seder, check, I took care of that. Now I'm moving on to the rest. Now it's Chol HaMoed Pesach. Any reason to eat matzah? No. So the Vilna Gaon writes, this is one of those categories of mitzvahs called a mitzvah harishus, which means, well, you don't really have to eat matzah the rest of the days of Pesach, but if you choose to go ahead and eat matzah the rest of the days of Pesach, you will get some sort of brownie points in Shemaim. You'll get some sort of schar. What does that mean? Well, if you're going to get schar, why shouldn't we all do it? And if you're not going to get schar, why should anybody do it? So the Vilna Gaon writes that there are some mitzvahs that fall under that category. Says the Rambam over here, when he talks about lighting Ner Shabbos, he says, don't be mistaken and think that lighting Ner Shabbos is like a reshus, that you have a right to choose whether you're going to do it or not. No. Lighting Ner Shabbos is very important, and it's something that we all need to do. He says it's a chova. It's not that we have an option whether we want to do it or not. It's something that we must do. Skip down to the last word on the second line. Ve'echad anashim ve'echad nashim. It doesn't matter whether it's a man, a male, or a female. Chayavin lios bebateim ner dalek b'shabbos. Each and every one of us has the responsibility to light Neiros Shabbos. And it doesn't matter if one is a male or a female, contrary to popular belief. Neiros Shabbos is a chiyuv. It's a responsibility that all of us share. It doesn't make a difference who you are. Afilu ein lo mayochal. Says the Rambam, a striking statement, which is really from a Gemara in Maseches Shabbos, even if a person doesn't have what to eat, still, shoal ala psachim. I'm a very poor person. I don't have extra money. I don't have candles in my house. So you'll say, well, when I have to prioritize, what should I raise money for? You'll say, well, I need to raise money to eat this Shabbos. That's obvious. But should I go around an extra 2 hours going and collecting money? Should I go around asking people for some more money, even though I already have enough food for Shabbos? I'm sufficient. Should I go around collecting more money? Says the Rambam, yes. We believe that Neir Shabbos is of utmost importance and a person must even go around. Shoal ala psacha means, literally, you have to knock on the doors and ask people for money if you cannot afford to light Neir Shabbos. V'lokeach shemenu madlik es haner. Shazeh, here's a very important word. Shazeh b'chlau, says the Rambam, oneg Shabbosu. Says the Rambam, and underline that, it's a very important word. The Rambam writes that when we light the Neir Shabbos, we are in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Now, what does it mean, Oneg Shabbos? We're all familiar with the term Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos. What is the difference between Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos? Seem to be, what was that?
Oneg is joy.
And Kavod is?
Respect.
So how would you, let's say, you're correct, but how would you categorize, let's say, take specific activities Which category would you put them in? When I take a shower for Shabbos, what am I doing? I'm honoring the Shabbos. When I eat my Shabbos meals, am I honoring the Shabbos? You're enjoying it. When I daven in shul, what am I doing? Not so clear, right? So I gave easy examples. When I mop the floors, I'm being mechabed Shabbos. When I put on my nice dress, my nice clothing, I'm being mechabed Shabbos. Now, how do you figure out the categories when you give examples that aren't so simple? So the Vilna Gaon points out on Shulchan Aruch, the way to categorize this is as follows. Anything that one does in preparation for Shabbos is under the category of Kavod Shabbos. Anything that we do on Shabbos itself, that's part of the enjoyment of Shabbos. So enjoyment of Shabbos doesn't only mean eating, it also means spiritual. So if I go to a wonderful shir, as long as the shir is enjoyable, if I go to a shir and I enjoy it, that's part of Onik Shabbos. If I have a Shabbos meal, that's Onik Shabbos. So now I ask you a trick question, because you're doing so well so far. So what happens, I can call on someone else, but what happens when you light Shabbos candles? What would that be called? Both. Why is it both? Because you do it before Shabbos. So on the one hand, it's Kavod Shabbos because you're doing it in anticipation for Shabbos. But on the other hand, you're enjoying the candles actually on Shabbos itself. So the Rambam over here writes very clearly that when you think about the mitzvah of Neir Shabbos, what are you in fulfillment of? Oneg Shabbos. Why? Because seemingly the Rambam understands that if a person's going to sit in a dark house, in a dark room, and you're not going to be able to see what you're doing, you're not going to be able to see what you're eating, you will not enjoy the food as much as you possibly can. You will not enjoy the experience of sitting with one's family as much as you should. So therefore the Rambam says, when you have the Neir Shabbos lit in the house, that is going to be a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Now, why is it that we find that women are more excited about this mitzvah than men? Why is it that we find in every house? Why is it that the women do this and not the men? Right? So you're partially right. You're 90% right. So let's look. The Rambam, if you look back at the Rambam, Rambam says, Echad anoshim ve'echad noshim. It's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon men and women alike. So if that's the case, then why is it that the women are the ones who are always so excited about this, and the men are running off to shul? Running off to shul. So why don't we light candles 3 minutes earlier? Right, when we do bedikas chametz, that's a mitzvah that's incumbent upon men and women alike. So why is it? I mean, in my house at least, my father always was the one who did bedikas chametz. I don't know what goes on in everyone else's home, but I assume in many homes, the man of the household is the one who did. Why? Why don't you say, same way like halakas neir Shabbos, the woman is the one who goes, makes the bracha, lights the neir Shabbos, so why don't you say also bedikas chametz, the woman should go ahead, let her. So the real answer is because the woman's been spending weeks and weeks cleaning the house. By the time bedikas chametz comes, she's not interested anymore. Either that or she knows there's no chametz left in the house. However, what's the real answer? What? That's right. So why is it that by Neir Shabbos we have a specific emphasis on women? So the Yalkut Shimoni writes as follows. This is a little esoteric reason. There's a more simple reason that the Rambam says. But the Yalkut Shimoni writes a very interesting idea, and that is that Adam HaRishon was created when? When did the mistake of the Eitz Hadas happen? What day of the week? Shabbos, right? We know the mistake of the Eitz Hadas happened on Shabbos. Who was, so to speak, responsible for Adam HaRishon making the mistake? Well, however you understand it, but it was Chava's mistake, right? Even though Chava had all sorts of reasons why she did it, however, in some way it was Chava's mistake. So therefore, to commemorate the fact, and the Gemara says that because Adam HaRishon made that mistake, Kava Neiro Shalolam, the world became a darker and dimmer place. It used to be a perfect world, and now the world is not as wonderful as it used to be because we made a mistake. Human beings failed themselves. And therefore, says the Yalkut Shimoni, because Chava was the one who was involved and who was really not solely responsible, but very much behind that mistake that Adam HaRishon made, and because of the mistake that happened, Kavo Neiro Shalolam, the world became a little bit of a dimmer place, a little bit darker, not as perfect as it should be. Therefore, says the Yalkut Shimoni, which is one of the Midrashim, this is why the women took it upon themselves to really be careful to light Neir Shabbos, so to speak, to make up for that original darkening of the world that they caused on the very first Shabbos of creation. Okay, interesting idea, a little esoteric, not sure what to do with it. However, the Rambam says a much more practical reason. Look at number Gimel, says the Rambam. Even though we know that this is a responsibility of men and women alike, the Rambam highlights, Noshim Mitzuvas al Dabar Zeh Yoser Mina Noshim, says the Rambam very openly, that women are supposed to be more careful about this than men. Why? Simply, the Fishahein Mitzuyus Bebatim. because they're the ones who generally run the house. Husband doesn't get involved in the kitchen, generally. Husband doesn't get involved in the dining room. He's not making the food. He doesn't know what's going on. Normally the women say, get out of my kitchen. You're ruining everything. So that says the Rambam. Simple. You want to know why it is that women are more involved in the mitzvah of Halakas Neir Shabbos than men? I'll tell you why. The reason why is because we know that women are generally more in charge of the house than the men are. And therefore, when we want to have a checklist of what is supposed to be done for Shabbos, we're going to ask the women, well, please make sure, after you make sure that everything else is done, please make sure as well that the candles are going to be lit for Shabbos. Because if you're not going to take care of it, the husband is probably going to forget about it because he's not paying attention to all the needs of the house. As we know, men don't always pay attention. So therefore, the Rambam says practically this is why women have taken it upon themselves more so than men. Now, how many candles should a person light? So the Shulchan Aruch writes as follows. Let's look at number Dalid. Shulchan Aruch says, everyone following so far? Look at number Dalid. The Shulchan Aruch says, are we translating? Everything so good? Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Samach Gimel, which is Hilchos Shabbos, Yehezar Lasos Ner Yafe. A person should make sure, you know, I'm always bothered by this on Hanukkah. You go to the store and you buy, nowadays we have the nice, easy pop-off, you know, Hanukkah things, no one gets their hands dirty, it's wonderful, and they always light right away. But when I was growing up, and I assume when all of you were growing up, was way before I grew up, so, way before. So, you're not old, I'm just very, very young. So the, you know, we used to have to get our hands really dirty, and you put those wicks into those things, and they're always crackling, you know, when you, anyone remember this? When you used to light, okay, right? When you used to make your own wicks, and then when you light them, it doesn't light well. It's terrible. This is what Hanukkah is supposed to be? It's hard to imagine this is what God had in mind when he gave us Hanukkah. Really, that you're supposed to be sitting there and it doesn't really light well, then it goes out, you try to light it again, oh, do I have to light again? Oh, but it didn't really light the first place. Sit and make yourself crazy to figure out, why don't you just buy nice candles that they should light well? Says the Shulchan Aruch over here, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, it's the same thing. We have a mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. So what does that mean? Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, says the Shulchan Aruch, Yehezar Lasos Neir Yafe. And it doesn't matter if it's olive oil or if it's wax or if it's this or if it's that. Whatever you find works best for your Neir Shabbos to actually look pretty on the table, that's what you should use. Simple. There's no restriction. You just have to use something that will light in a beautiful way. Now, V'yesh Mechavdin Lasos Beis Psilos, says the Shulchan Aruch, there are those who are careful to light two candles. Why? Echad keneged zachar, ve'echad keneged shamar. You should light two candles because we have this idea of zachar v'shamar. Shabbos we had two sets of luchos, we know. One part of the Torah says, zachar siyam ha-shabbos l'katsho. Other part of the Torah, parshas v'aschanan, what does it say? Shamar siyam ha-shabbos l'katsho. So how do you figure out? Is it zachar or shamar? So since we have two aspects, which we won't get into right now, but since we have two aspects of Shabbos, which is why on Shabbos, if you pay attention in the Shemona Esrei, we say, Shtei Chavasim Menei Shana Tamimim. Why do we bring two offerings on Shabbos in the Karban Musaf? Again, one keneged Zachar, one keneged Shamar. Why is it that we have Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos? Why do we have two challahs on the table? Also, one keneged Zachar, one keneged Shamar. Well, says the Shulchan Aruch also, when it comes to lighting the Neir Shabbos as well, a person should be careful to have one candle keneged Zachar, one candle keneged Shamar, and this way you will fulfill in the optimum way the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos. Now, the Ramah has a commentary not only on Shulchan Aruch, but he also has a commentary before the Shulchan Aruch was written. He wrote a commentary on the Tur and the Beis Yosef. So the Ramah writes over there, well, I think, says the Ramah, that if there's a unique idea of why you're supposed to have two candles, one for Zachar and one for Shamar, then it would probably stand to reason that you should not add anything more than the two candles that you have. Because right now, if I walk into someone's home and I see two candles, I'll say, oh, that makes sense. I know that on Shabbos, everything's double. I know that we bring Shtei Chavasim in our Karban. I know that we have Lecha Mishnah on the table, two challahs. Oh, I also know that we have two candles on the table because Zachar and Shamar. Well, what about when you walk into the person's home who has 12 children and who decides they want a light not only for every child, but for every in-law and for every grandchild, and you see the whole table is full of candles. You don't know anything about Zachar or Shamar. Says the Ramah, maybe it makes sense. We should limit it only to two candles. Sounds like a good idea. Well, let me ask you. The Shulchan Aruch writes, in the end of the day, the Shulchan Aruch says he disagrees. Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah come to the final psak, that if a person would like to add on to the candles, there is no problem. Person wants to add, you don't want to just have Zachar and Shamar, you want to have 5 candles for all your children, you want to have 10 candles for all the grandchildren, everything's fine. As long as you're doing it for Shabbos, it's wonderful. Well, let me ask you, let's say we were talking before about Neres Chanukah. Let's say the first night of Chanukah, I say, wow, this is so beautiful, I'm going to, you know, let me light 10 candles. Well, would that be okay? No. Let's say Pesach night, you're supposed to have Dalet Kosos. Let's say I say, you know what? This wine is so delicious. It's so wonderful. We're having such a great time. It's not my attitude. I can't handle it. However, for those who love wine, well, why don't we have 8 cups tonight? Why don't we have 10 cups? It's great. It's a toast. Everyone's enjoying. Yetzias Mitzrayim. Wonderful. It's great. We're in high spirits. Why don't we have 10 cups? Want allowed to do that? Says the Gemara, Yemsachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Shulchan Aruch quotes in Nuchas Pesach, Tafayin Tes. One is not allowed to be Mosef Ala Kosos. One is not allowed to have more cups than he was instructed. Because the Torah says, have 4 cups of wine. Why do we have 4 cups of wine, as we know? You're going to add another one, then we're not going to know anymore what we're doing. There was a reason why we set it up that we're supposed to have 4 cups. Now you're going to start adding, we're going to get thrown off. We're not going to know what we're doing anymore. And similarly, when you have Hanukkah, what are you going to say? You should light 10 candles the first night of Hanukkah, then we're not going to know any longer that it's the first night of Hanukkah. There's a specific reason why we light 1 candle. Well, over here as well, I should have said that if there's a specific reason that's given why we have 2 candles, one for Zachar, one for Shamar, why are we adding any more? Yet we find that this is a place where we don't say that. This is not like Neres Chanukah, this is not like the 4 cups of wine on Pesach. And similarly, let's say you have a lot of guests, and you feel that the 2 challahs that you put out on the table are not sufficient. All of us have the practice, we put another few rolls, we put a few more things, there's no problem. The reason why you're supposed to have 2 challahs in the first place is because Zachar and Shamar. Yeah, it's right. However, if you add on it, we don't assume that it takes away. Why is that? I believe the reason is as follows. Because, yes, there's a nice symbolism in Zachar and Shamar to have 2, but in the end of the day, why do we have the candles on the table? Oneg Shabbos. So if you have more candles and you make it more respectful and you make it more enjoyable and more light in the room, it doesn't take away. It just enhances the mitzvah trying to do. Yes, we have a symbolism and you should not have less than 2 candles. However, to have more would not be an issue. We have this in other places as well. The Gemara, I don't know how much this is of interest to people, but the Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Lamed Beis where the Gemara learns from Sukkim, for those who are paying attention on Rosh Hashanah davening during Musaf. So it's a little bit hard to actually pay attention because there's so many psukim that we're saying that really are hard to figure out the meaning and significance and relevance to all of us. It's a little bit hard to put that in context. Maybe before Rosh Hashanah we'll have a shiur about that, if that's of interest to anybody. Just understanding the tefillah, understanding what we're doing. But the Gemara says that you're really supposed to have 10 psukim in Malchios, 10 psukim in Zichronos, and 10 psukim in Shofros. Now says the Gemara, why do you have 10 psukim? So the Gemara says there's some symbolism, some very good reason. What if I want to add psukim? I say, you know, I love God so much. Malchius, I love the fact that God is in charge of the world. I'm going to look through Tehillim. I'm going to say some extra psukim that were not put into the Shemona Esrei. So you're going to say, what? You're adding to the Shemona Esrei? Who do you think you are? What right do you have to add? No, says the Gemara, you have a right to add. You want to add more psukim, it's fine. So it's another place where we find that even though the Gemara tells us, there's a reason why you're supposed to have 10 psukim, whatever the symbolism is, but there is a specific reason why you're supposed to say 10 psukim in Malchius, in Zichronos, and in Shofros on Rosh Hashanah. Yet, if you add, that does not take away from what you are trying to do. Give another example. Unfortunately, we daven in... it's fortunate that we come to Shul. Unfortunately, in Shul on Shabbos, davening sometimes takes very long. Why does davening sometimes take a very long time? Because we make Hosafos in the laning. How many aliyahs are we supposed to have? 7. How many bar mitzvahs do we have? 5. So what are we going to do? We have to give every grandfather and every father and every bar mitzvah boy, and we have to give every ofrif. So it turns out we have 15 aliyahs. Well, why are we doing that? The Gemara says you're only supposed to have 7 aliyahs on Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us a specific reason why you're supposed to have 7 aliyahs on Shabbos. Yet, that is another one of the examples where the Gemara tells us if you would like to add, even though there's significance to the reason why we have 7 on Shabbos, if you would like to add to that number, it's also not a problem. So I think when you put that all together, you come back to Neres Shabbos, that's the idea here as well. There are some times where we find mitzvahs that you are allowed to add. There are some times where we find mitzvahs that you're not allowed to add. And Neres Shabbos is one of those examples that one would be permitted to add to the number 2, which is Keneged Zachar Vishamar. Now, we mentioned before that the Rambam writes when he talks about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neir Shabbos, the Rambam says one is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. Now let's look at a very fascinating Rambam. You look at number Hey, for those who are still following, the Rambam has a number Hey. Ezohu Kibud. Now this is going to be very surprising. Ezohu Kibud, says the Rambam. How do we define what Kavod Shabbos is? Says the Rambam. Let's look carefully. Zeh she'amru chachamim, she'mitzvah al adam lirchotz panav yadav v'raglav v'chamin be'erev Shabbos. Part of honoring and respecting Shabbos is that one should take a shower and get dressed before Shabbos. Okay, that makes sense. Now says the Rambam, b'pnei kavod haShabbos, u'misatef b'tzitzis, and he should put on, tzitzis doesn't mean tzitzis, tzitzis means the clothing, beautiful clothing. V'yoshev b'kovod rosh, a person should sit with seriousness, miyachel lehakbalas pnei haShabbos. Now first of all, just as a caveat, the Rambam, when he describes what Erev Shabbos is supposed to look like, it's not the way it looks in my house. But the Rambam says, you don't take a shower 3 minutes before Shabbos and run around in a frenzy and not know what to do because, oh, we have 3 minutes till lichbenching and what's going to be, and oh, I forgot to put up the challah and I forgot the soup. And it says the Rambam, what is an Erev Shabbos supposed to look like? You should sit in your clothing after you take a shower. V'yoshev b'kovod rosh. We should sit with seriousness, not with a frenzy. We should sit with the seriousness and understand what is about to come. Miyachel lahakbalas b'nei haShabbos. We should wait and we should anticipate the fact that Shabbos is on its way. Kimo shehu yotzei likras hamelach. The same way, if a person has an opportunity to visit the White House, well, I wouldn't show up 3 minutes before the doors open. I would make sure I get an Amtrak early in the day. I would make sure I'm there, I'm ready to go, I'm all dressed, I'm showered, take it to a hotel room, make sure to get myself ready again when I get there. I wouldn't just show up and run through the doors. That's not the way you do it. Says the Rambam, the attitude we're supposed to have when going into a Shabbos is the same. The same way we would have a serious attitude when we were going to meet a president of the United States, when we were going to meet a king or a queen, we wouldn't just run in and barge through the doors and come not dressed properly and not have our makeup ready and not have it. No, we would be ready to go. So too over here, says the Rambam, this is what an Erev Shabbos is supposed to look like. Now, v'tzarech l'sakin beiso mi ba'od yom l'kavod Shabbos. Person should get the house ready in order to honor Shabbos. Now this fits with what we said before. There are two categories, kavod and oneg. Kavod, as we said, is any preparation that I do in anticipation of Shabbos. Oneg is anything that I actually enjoy on Shabbos proper. Here says the Rambam strikingly, v'yihye ner daluk v'shulchan aruch u'mita mutzas. The bed should be made, the table should be set, and the candle should be lit. And again, the Rambam says this is part of the category of Kavod Shabbos. If you look in the first words of this Rambam, Ezehu Kavod. What is the definition of Kavod Shabbos? So here we have a problem. The Rambam that we read before said that lighting Shabbos candles is Oneg Shabbos. Now we have a Rambam himself who says it's Kavod Shabbos. So which one is it? The answer is, like you said, it's both. Why? Because I light the candles in anticipation for Shabbos. However, the candles actually enhance my Shabbos meal as well, because as Shabbos goes on and as I bring the food out and we're sitting at the table and we're enjoying the fact that there's light in the room, so we enjoy the fact on Shabbos itself, and therefore it's part of Oneg Shabbos as well. Now, this makes a major difference, as we'll see. You'll say, what's the difference? So, you light the candles. Who cares if you're trying to do Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos? What's the difference? In the end of the day, as long as I have my candles lit, it's fine. It makes a major difference. Take, for example, as follows. We have Erev Yom Tov. Many different practices, what you should do on Erev Yom Tov. So I'm curious, by a show of hands, how many people on the first night of Yom Tov light candles before Yom Tov starts? Really? Okay, that's the right answer. Now by a show of hands, how many people, maybe you didn't understand my question, how many people light candles, Yom Tov, you're allowed to do certain malachas, so you're allowed to light fires as long as you don't begin a new fire, a new flame. So I know there's a custom in many communities where they light the candles after the husband comes home from school. Then when you're about to sit down to say Kiddush, the woman goes and lights the candles. No, that's certainly the second night because you don't have an option. But I'm talking about the first night of Yom Tov. Anyone do that here? So you're all 1,000% correct. How do you like that? That minig is not a proper minig. It's actually interesting. One of the commentaries on the tour is called the Prisha. It's one of the commentaries on the side of the tour. So the Prisha writes from his mother. How do you like that? He quotes from his mother that his mother used to give musr to all the women of the community that they were doing wrong. The women used to say, well, Yom Tov, you're allowed to light fire. So if I have a million things I need to do on Erev Yom Tov, and I have to get this ready and that ready and bathe the kids and I have to put on my makeup and I have to get dressed and I have to do everything, and now I can leave something for Yom Tov night when I'm going to be a little calmer, you know what? The first thing on that list is going to be Yom Tov candles. Why? Because you're able to light a fire on Yom Tov anyway. So I may as well wait till my husband comes home from shul when everybody's calm and everything's ready to go, when the table's all set, and then I'll light the candles. Said the mother of the Prisha, that is a major mistake. Because if the Rambam outlines for us that lighting candles is a part of Kavod Shabbos as well as Oneg Shabbos, what does that mean? That means that you have to do it not only that it should be lit in your house when you're eating the meal, but one also has to be careful that you do it in anticipation of Shabbos or Yom Tov. And therefore, even though Yom Tov one is allowed to do certain malachas and one would be allowed to, officially, one would be allowed to light candles on Yom Tov, however, if one has the option to light candles either before Yom Tov begins or after Yom Tov begins, one should prefer to light them before, because this way you'll be able to also get the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos and Kavod Yom Tov. So that is consequence number one, which comes out of this. Number two, Rabbeinu Tam writes, Rabbeinu Tam is one of the foremost commentaries on the Gemara, it's on the side of every page of Gemara. So Rabbeinu Tam writes as follows. If you look in number Zion, which is close to the bottom of the page here, on the first side, Od near the Rabbeinu Tam, Shem Haya Haner Mudluk Va'omeid. Let's say I have, the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, let's say you have. Well, I challenge you. I don't know anyone who doesn't have. But if you have Ner Mudluk Va'omeid, which means I have candles, I have lights that are already lit. Tzarech Lechabos Belachzar Ulahadlik. What does that mean? Rabbeinu Tam says, if we have lights that are lit in our home already, when Shabbos comes in, Rabbeinu Tam, this is one of the foremost commentaries on the Gemara. If one has lights that are already lit before Shabbos comes in, the proper thing to do is to put them out and to go ahead and light them again. So you'll say, well, none of us have candles lit in our homes now, right? None of us light candles during the week. Well,
some young men light the candles, they blow them out, and then they light them.
Oh, so that's a different thing. That's a good point. That's a different thing. The Shulchan Aruch says that a man should also have some sort of enthusiastic participation.
And if some men don't do that, they prepare them.
Right. Well, that's not a good thing. A husband or a child should know that they should also help out in the house. Not a bad idea.
We should shut off the lights
in the room. So just 1 minute. So here's a point that Rabbeinu Tam is making. And in fact, the Ramah quotes it lahalacha. The Ramah quotes it lahalacha that a person, if there were lights that were lit before Shabbos began, one should go ahead and put those lights out and only light them again. Why is that? Because if the only objective of lighting Shabbos candles is for Oneg Shabbos, so then as long as the lights are on, it's good enough. It doesn't matter. But if part of the objective of lighting Shabbos candles is also Kavod Shabbos, to show that I'm doing something in anticipation of Shabbos, well then, I have to actively go ahead and do something. So if the lights are already on in my house, I didn't actively show that I'm doing something special for Shabbos. Even though I turned them on 7 o'clock in the morning, but I didn't turn them on for Shabbos, I turned them on because I wanted to eat breakfast. But now, I come into my home, it's 5 o'clock, Shabbos is going to be at 5:15, and now I go into my dining room, I'm going to light the Shabbos candles there. What happens in all of our homes? We have the chandeliers on already, right? All the lights are on. Says the Tosfos, and says the Rama, the right thing to do is to turn out all the lights, and then turn them back on to show that we're doing this in anticipation of Shabbos. Why do we do that? Again, because we have this dual idea of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, and the objective of lighting Shabbos candles is not only that we should have the opportunity to have light while we eat, but it should also be that we should have some sort of active participation before Shabbos begins. Now, any questions? Yeah.
What if you have your lights set on a timer to go off a half an hour before Shabbos?
Okay.
I
think that's okay, but we're going to run into another problem, and that is, I don't know if we're going to have time. What time do people want to end the shiur every week? That's the question. It's set officially 10:30. 10:30 is good? Should stop 10:30? Okay, so we don't have enough time to finish. By a show of hands, should we continue this next week? Yes? That was a poor show of hands. Yeah, okay, good. So then, if not, then we'll rush through now and try to finish as much as we can, but... Okay, yeah?
No, so for Shabbos, I want to hear what you have to say about the current way of life, because I have
Okay. See, here's a very big problem. See, part of the problem of teaching Hilcha Shabbos is, if we wait till next week, what are we doing this week? So, hang in there. But we'll get there. Just to address the question that you had before, and it touches a little bit on your question as well. I think if you have a timer set up that goes on a half hour before Shabbos, you're clearly doing that to be mechabed Shabbos in anticipation of Shabbos. Obviously, you set up a system where you're doing something special. However, what about the rest of the lights in the house? See, we are only used to thinking about the lights in the dining room because that's where we light Neres Shabbos. But what you see clearly from this idea of Kavod Shabbos is it's not limited to the dining room. It's not limited to the dining room. It's really anything that we do in preparation. The same way I don't only mop the floor in the dining room. I mop the floor in the kitchen as well and downstairs. And I clean up and I vacuum every room in the house before Shabbos, maybe. But I do that. I'm supposed to do that. So too, turning on the lights in every room is also a part of Kavod Shabbos and showing our anticipation for Shabbos, regardless of the fact of whether I'm eating in that room or not. So let's say to go into the bathroom, to turn on the light before Shabbos, we want the lights on in the bathroom, correct? So if we want the lights on in different rooms or in the closet in our room, wherever it is, this Ramah would apply to that as well. The proper thing to do to show our Kavod Shabbos is to go around the house and right before we light Neres Shabbos to go and turn off all the lights and turn them back on to show that we're doing something actively, proactively, special to be Mechabed Shabbos. So this is an important idea to keep in mind. Yes? Questions?
What about making sure, like, the lights are off? Like a bedroom light needs to be off, otherwise you can't sleep.
Sure, that's also part of it.
So you can turn it on to turn it off.
Ah, okay. I mean, that's a little bit... That's what the recent Svarim write. It's called Hasaras Hamoneya. You're taking rid of something that was actively going to go. So I don't think you need to turn them on to turn them back off to, I don't know, I don't think that's necessary. But again, to go around the house and turn off the lights that are on and turn them back on, that would be a very nice way to bring Shabbos in. And in fact, that's what Rabbeinu Tam writes, and that's what the Ramah quotes as well. Yeah.
What about when you make Shabbos before Zman? Husband goes to
shul.
When do you light candles and when do you think it's good to
light? Wonderful question. So let me pick up on that next week. Is that okay? So we'll pick up on that next week. It's a very important question. How long are we allowed to do malacha and when does Shabbos really come in? We'll get to that. Yeah. Any other questions?